This is the Biz News Podcast, one-on-one conversations with experts in business and personal development.
Stop wasting your money on traditional executive coaching. That radical thought is expressed by a veteran executive coach, Lori Mazan, who has coached some of the nation's top business leaders over the past 25 years. Traditional coaching works only perhaps 10% of the time, she says. Lori Mazan explains what's wrong with traditional executive coaching and talks about how it should be in this episode of Biz News Interviews. Lori, you have been coaching executives for literally decades. What have you learned in all that time?
Oh my God, you're making me feel so old. Or wise.
That's it, wise, of course, always wise.
Always wise. So I have learned that people are very complex and that it is interesting and challenging for leaders, executive leaders, any kind of leaders, to change their own behaviors to get more successful at things. And it takes a very kind of introspective, honest self-assessment for people to kind of figure out where they're doing well, where they're holding themselves back, where they can have greater impact, where they can be more successful. And it's really helpful to have a partner to help you do that, just because human beings, one, we're kind of habitual. Our brains are habituating, so we like to do the same thing over and over again. So we need a little push to do something different. And secondly, we can be somewhat delusional. So it kind of helps to have an outside view to just make sure you're getting an accurate perception of yourselves, not a view that's colored one way or another.
What on earth got you into this line of work?
You know, people ask me that all of the time, and it was a long pathway to it. I started as a social worker. It broke my heart. I did it for 3 years and worked with kids and wanted to adopt them all. And so I went back to school and got an advanced degree and became a therapist, and I did not like it. I didn't want to go back into the past of people's lives and try to help them heal their trauma when their current life was in trouble as well. So I kept asking this one question, like, what have you done differently since the last time we got together? And I kept getting told by all my supervision and testing people and everything, you can't ask that question. You have to stay in the past. And I was like, okay, this isn't going to work. So I never practiced therapy. I went and taught college psychology and eventually got into training and development. And like 10 years later, this profession started called coaching, and they were asking my question. And I was like, oh, this is the thing I've been waiting for. So I got certified as a coach right away. I was one of the like first 200 certified coaches globally. And hung up my shingle and been doing it 30 years.
You say that leadership coaching is this era's, as you call it, secret weapon. What do you mean?
Well, in the early days of coaching, people thought it was remedial, let's say. They thought it was remedial. So there was an early coach who talked about coaching for derailed executives. And no one wanted to be a derailed executive. So no one wanted it visible that they had a coach. So in the early years, it was all behind closed doors. I would contract directly with the executive. No one would know what was happening because the perception was something's wrong with you, you know, as you have a coach. And so at that time, I really was a secret weapon. No one even knew that that executive had a coach. Now coaching is really used for developmental purposes, for bringing leaders up the ranks, but it's still a secret weapon because it's really about that leader individually. It's like you have your own cheerleader, your own, mentor, helper, your own personal trainer, coach there pushing you along. So it really is a secret weapon to your development. You have this one person, or maybe a small group of people that are all invested in your development, and they don't have any other agenda.
So at least you no longer have to go into a company disguised anymore, I guess.
And these days, it's almost all virtual like this. So people can have a coach, and no one's ever going to really know unless they tell them. It's quite a thing to have a coach. If you don't have a coach, you're kind of like not considered a high potential leader. So it's the needle has swung totally to the other side now.
Have you found over the years, some people are just natural born leaders, some people can be taught to be leaders, and some people are just dunderheads who are going to be back in the background forever?
I have found there really is no natural born leaders. I think that was a fallacy from the old days where many people thought maybe men were natural born leaders and women weren't, possibly. But no, I find everybody has to develop themselves as a leader. Does everyone want to? No, they don't. There are lots of people that don't want to be in a leadership role. They would prefer to do their skill, whatever it is, and they don't want to deal with people because, you know, people, it's work. So not everyone wants to do that. Not everyone has like the desire, the facility to work with people. It's sort of like if I'm very good with my hands, I might want to do something electronically or something. I might not want to deal with people. That's maybe not the thing I'm interested in.
What have you seen change over the years in terms of being a leadership coach?
Oh my gosh, the external environment has changed dramatically. So one thing that's very interesting about my career, the first 10 years, maybe 12 years, I only coached men because only men were in the executive level roles in companies. And now I coach a big variety of people. So the work environment went from very homogenous to very diverse over the last 50 years. And, you know, I'm sure we still have ways to go with that, but it's been significantly different. I think another thing that's really different is how many generations are in the workforce now. Used to be around three generations, maybe four. We've got like five or six generations in the workforce now. And, you know, you and I, we've been around the block a few times, but even in my own company, I work with people fresh out of college and they're literally 40 years younger than I am. So I think that's very different than it used to be in the past. And then you can add all kinds of things, technology, you know, obviously made a big difference. I think one of the big changes has been the length of time you have to develop leaders. So in the last century, people stayed at their organizations a long time. You might have gone to the same organization your entire career. And so there's like 20 years for people to develop as a leader. Now, even leaders stay at their organizations less than 5 years. Employees stay 3.5 years or less. And so the amount of time you have to develop a leader is very short. And so for, you know, coaching is a great modality for developing people quickly, accelerating their development in a short amount of time. So I think organizations are starting to realize that now that the time frame for development's compressed.
Would you define, as you see it, the difference between a really good manager and a really good leader?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a really good manager is looking down into their own team and really working with their team to make sure they're connected, trusting, functional, productive, you know, that kind of thing. But a leader is not only looking down to a group under them. A leader is looking across the organization and above and even outside the organization, because the leader has to be able to see things that are coming down the pike at them and be prepared in advance for those things. So some skills around strategic thinking and direction setting and the future view are really important from a leadership perspective.
When we look at leadership, when we look at an organization, let me put it this way. When we look at an organization, there's, let's say, the president and the CEO. So how many leaders can an organization afford to have?
Well, interestingly, there's a lot of perspectives on this. So kind of a standard rule of thumb is around 10% of the organization is in a leadership role. But there's a bit of a new perspective, which is every employee can be a leader, right? A manager can be a leader. Every employee can be a leader. So you can have people like head down doing their tasks, or you can have them head up looking around, seeing how their task impacts other tasks, seeing what's coming in and how they can innovate on their task, you know, collaborating across organizations. So you can really make any employee a leader if you want to. There's a lot of benefits of that, right? They have a lot more ownership of what they're doing. They're much more connected and bought in. The downside might be then they may not want to just do whatever you tell them, because they have a point of view too.
Well, what mischief you have created.
Seriously.
As you have provided in your background material, a Harvard Business Review article that points to the dollar value of leadership training, and it would seem to be, what a waste of money. It's a $60 billion a year industry, they estimate, and only 10% of that is worthwhile. What are they talking about? Are they right?
Yeah, they actually kind of are right, because what happened was, shockingly, we took some approaches to leader development from the past. For one, it came right out of like OSHA training, which was really a safety training. So in the 60s, 70s, I think early 70s, OSHA was created, and they had all the safety training, and it really did reduce workplace injuries. So people just extrapolated wildly and said, oh, we can just train people in everything and that'll solve all our problems. So leader development was basically focused on group training activities. And that's been shown now for 30 years to only have about a 10% return. Only 1 in 10 people take anything out of a training and actually apply it in their daily work. So that kind of matches with the stat you named. So that's why I'm kind of on a quest here to start to add new modalities to development, things that develop capacity and capabilities, not just skills. And in other words, a way to combine those skills usefully in even unknown environments. And that's a different kind of development that can't be learned, you know, from watching a speaker up front. It'd kind of be like if you were going to have surgery and your doctor told you, oh, I went to a surgery training and they just went to a conference and heard someone speak and they were like, hey, I can be a surgeon now. That's kind of how we treat leaders. And leadership is actually really complex, and it can be life and death, depending on, you know, what you're doing. So I think we should give the amount of seriousness to it that we give to other very complex life and death kinds of situations.
But when you go into a company that's been around for a while, as let's say it's successful, if you train a leader at this level, the mm-hmm. people above him may not have the same outlook on life, shall we say. So how do you make them effective in such an organization without training everybody?
Yeah, interestingly, you do have to have some kind of leadership philosophy or sets of ways that you want the leaders to work in your organization, and then have everyone trained or coached to that approach. And that approach can come down on a high. This is how we operate in our organization. It's like right next door to culture, right? Here's our culture of our organization. And here's our leadership culture of our organization. And it's not that hard to state that. People are actually already doing it, they just haven't said it. And then you start to train people all in the same approach. And not every company has the same approach. So there's not like a right way to do it, there's lots of ways to do it. But whatever is the way for your company, actually naming that. Knowing what kinds of capacities and capabilities go into that kind of leadership, and then getting everyone going to, paddling in the same direction is the way to actually create even more success for your organization. Otherwise, you have people kind of against each other, right? One person thinks this way is the right way, and another person, yes. So you get it.
So, over the years, you have kind of made a short list. As I understand it, you've got five things in leadership development practices that you would just as soon blow up. What are they?
Oh, well, I would say the first thing is that there is just one way to be a leader. The old style leadership thinking is like if you have these three traits or you have these five traits, you'll be a good leader. No, that's not really true. And especially not anymore when you have such a diverse environment. So I would say give up thinking there's one way to be a leader. There isn't. A second would be just go beyond the thing we're talking about. Go beyond skill development. Like skill development's not enough. It's good, but it's basic. You have to go well beyond that in the complexity of the leadership world today. A thing I really am not very fond of is 360 assessments. I have debriefed thousands of those things. And it's just not very useful. It's a point in time piece of information. It's on a linear scale. And I find that when people use it really well, they can get one or two tidbits out of it. A lot of money goes into that. And as you said before, the amount of actual behavioral change connected to that is very, very low, maybe even less than 10%. Another thing I'd give blow of right away are standard old performance evaluations, especially ranked evaluations, where one person's ranked against another person. That doesn't create motivation. It creates infighting and competition. Performance evaluations fundamentally flawed when they're a yearly evaluation. We have a bias. It's the primacy and recency effect, where we remember what happened first and what happened last, and we don't remember what's in the middle. So performance evaluations almost always operate like that. It takes a lot of time, a ton of money. And guess what? Companies don't even make their talent decisions based on those. They don't make their performance decisions based on those. But somehow they have to measure performance. So I think we could do that a lot better. And I think one last thing, and I know you have lots of smaller businesses, I think, watching this. Traditionally, leader development has been a person-to-person activity. And I really think we could start to bring some technology into that. So you have kind of technology and people together developing leaders. It's an area where technology hasn't really gotten a foothold very well yet, which is really interesting. So if you're out there and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I gonna, up level my leader development practices, think about adding some technology.
Technology as simple as Zoom, I suppose.
Simple as Zoom, there's lots of technology for managing. There's technologies for helping this human-human one-on-one kinds of interactions. So, yeah.
As you look to the future, where does the specter, if you will, of artificial intelligence factor into leadership?
Yeah, you know, I think AI could be kind of useful. It's very good at identifying patterns. That's actually its purpose, right? It's connecting content. And so that could be useful for a leader to see, for a coach to utilize. But what is missing in that, and why I don't think human interaction is going to go away, that doesn't talk about meaning. It doesn't talk about why that pattern might be in place and stuck there. It doesn't talk about how a person can shift that pattern. It doesn't talk about what's another pattern that they could take on in place. So I think it's really useful to create a baseline, but you're still going to need the human to human approach to really help people make a change.
Now, where can our viewers and listeners get more information? I am betting you've got a website or something.
Oh, yes, I have a website, www.soundingboardinc.com. And you can always look me up on LinkedIn too, Lori Mazan, M-A-Z-A-N.
Now, we could talk probably for the rest of the day about different things related to leadership. But what would you like to get across that I haven't asked you?
I would say leadership really starts with yourself. So take a look at your own development and see where you might be stuck in some old ways of thinking or some old ways of doing things, and try to let go of something and just experiment with something new.
You've been listening to the Biz News Podcast. We welcome your input. Send your email to editor@biznews.com. That's BIZGNUS.com. Thanks for listening.